Real Estate Journal podcast. I'm your host, Rick Kaplan. My guest today is Stephen Wendell. He's the founder and CEO of Mountain Shore Properties. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. So tell me a little bit about Stephen. What are you all about?
probably a lot of different things. I'm from Charleston, South Carolina. Been living in New York for the last 14 years, and come from a real estate development family. My father's been in the business for 40 plus years. And I joined him in 2011 after practicing law in New York City, and decided to get into the real estate game. And for the last 15 years, we've been building all different types of assets, apartments, some office, but we're probably most known for developing hotels all up and down the Mid-Atlantic, Southeast, basically all East Coast.
You know, that's kind of a unique, first of all, you did the opposite. Everyone now is moving to South Carolina. You moved to New York.
Yeah, right. But we still have a place in Charleston. So I'm actually in Charleston today. So I still get to be in both places.
Okay. So you get the best of both worlds.
That's right.
And your company is a little different than a lot of developers I talk to, because a lot of developers, they'll specialize in one thing, like strictly hotels or strictly industrial. You do industrial, retail, multifamily, you do a little of everything.
Yes, it is. It's extremely different. And we found that when we were going out to, you know, raise capital for our real estate fund, it was like, well, wait a minute, you don't just do one thing. We want to check our apartment box, or we want to check our office box. And we were like, no, we're going to do everything. And I think it's entrepreneurial, it's opportunistic. The hotel side will kind of develop anywhere. If we like the market, we feel like the demand statistics are great, we can go in and figure out which neighborhood to put a hotel. I think it's a little bit more nuanced when you're building apartments or office. You need to know the city a whole lot more than just, you know, having gone there a couple times and knowing where the tourists like to go. And so we have a handful of those cities that we do know intimately, either because I've lived there, my father's lived there, my real estate partners have lived there. And that will do everything. And once we've established that rapport with the brokers on the ground, the people on the ground, we get deals. They don't come often. You know, we don't do a ton of deals, but we get them and then can execute on them. You know, Philadelphia is a great example of that. We go way back there. We have an amazing partner on the ground who's also the manager of our assets. And so, you know, every few years we'll get an opportunity that's kind of overlooked, and he'll help us get it through zoning, and we'll do it. And so we've built a dozen projects in Philly, and right now we're just coming to finish this year 247 apartments over a CVS and an Aldi that are already leased. So it's a great project.
So how do you separate that in your business? Do you have like a department that just handles multifamily, or do you have a department that just handles, you know,
well, it's a department in my brain. It's a department in my brain that does multi, and then a department. Now, my real estate partner, who is one of my friends from college, we were teammates. He does a lot of the non hotel stuff and managing that. And I'm involved, obviously, but he's really that department. And then on the hotel side, I'm way more involved in the day to day. So that's kind of how it's separated, although we both know enough to be dangerous about everything. And then we have from Charleston, South Carolina. So we have a lot of assets there, and my father still lives there. So he really handles a lot of what goes on in Charleston and managing the day to day, because he's there all the time. So that's how we have set up. We only have seven people above property. And it's been a small kind of family run. I mean, three of the employees have been with us for over 30 years. So it's really amazing.
So when you do a project, you usually do it with a partner.
You know, we can go by ourselves, but what we have found, especially because we're looking for off-market deals, is that sometimes the landowner is someone who like really values the land, but needs a partner either because they don't know how to do a hotel, or needs a partner because they need access to debt or equity, but they want to stay in the deal. And a lot of times they're real estate people themselves, so they add value. And what we think is good is that because we develop in a bunch of different cities, and of course none of the only a couple of those cities are our homes, we love having someone on the ground that calls that city their home, because they know all the stakeholders, they all know all the neighbors, and it's, you know, if you can find a way to work with them, which some developers just can't do, they want to do it and they want to control it and all the things, we found that partnering with locals on the ground actually makes the project better, and we get more local support for it, because we're not just this outsider coming in and doing whatever we want. We don't live there. So that's been, it's a little harder to get the development off the ground. There's a lot more work that needs to be done to build trust before you go into business with each other. But we've been successful in doing that. I think more successful than not. And we have a lot of great partners who then end up saying, well, we loved working with you. We'd like to invest in other deals that you're doing. And so we've gotten extra equity by being good partners.
Very smart. It's you figured out a kind of a niche type of thing.
100%.
But you figured out how to do it the right way, and now it's like a, you know, you get a reputation that works well.
That's absolutely true. And you know, I joined my father, and he had already been doing this, and you know, we wouldn't be here today without the reputation that he had already built. So it's a lot of continuing the best practices that he's put forth, you know, with his partners, with the brands, with the banks, and just continuing to do that. Although, you know, the banking world's, they used to care about relationships. Now they just care about general macro trends and
right,
whatever the computer tells them to do.
Yeah. Well, I guess you get burnt so many times, you know, that's probably what they have to do, you know.
That's right.
So you also have a lot of good ties with a lot of the hotel chains as well.
100%. Yeah, we've done, our first was a Holiday Inn. So the first deal that my dad did was opened in 1983 in West Virginia, which is where we're originally from, is a Holiday Inn. So that's IHG. And then, you know, he built the 13th Hampton Inn in the country, probably four or five of the first 200. Now they just opened their 3,000th. In the last month or two. And so they being Hilton. And so we've done those, we've done Marriott. And kind of when I got involved, I created a relationship with Hyatt, which has been really great. We've done four or five of them, kind of in between 2011 and 2020. We're the developer of the year in 2019 for North America. And they've been a great partner. And, you know, the last couple of hotels we've done have been independent, because I've wanted to move us more in a boutique nature. But I think a lot of what we'll do moving forward are boutiques with the brands, because the lift that you get from the reservation system is certainly, you know, certainly worth the fees that you're paying. It's tremendous. And they're starting to consolidate. It's a really interesting time seeing Hilton, Marriott, Hyatt, Accor make these acquisitions of boutique lifestyle brands. It's been an interesting thing to watch.
So now you just focus on the Northeast, or do you go throughout the whole country?
All East Coast. I you know, I won't say all we East won't Coast. Do something west of the Mississippi, but unlikely. It would be maybe something that popped up in Colorado or somewhere like Bozeman, Montana, where, you know, that I know is a great market, and somehow we got a deal that way. I have enough like feelers out that it's possible, but I know the East Coast well, just from a personal basis. And we have great construction ties, and you know, the banks that are regional tend to focus on those areas. And so it just makes more sense. It's easier for travel. And so that's where our focus has been. And then, you know, obviously the Southeast, we know well, but it's also where all this momentum is and people are moving and everything. So it's kind of aligns well with our investors being excited, but we like having diversity. You know, we have property upstate New York, and then we have properties all the way down to Florida. So, you know, that asset geographic diversity is something I think that has done well for us, and not being totally allocated just to one market, which, you know, if something happens in that market, then you're very much exposed.
Well, I want to go back to you for a second, because I'm going to talk about one of your projects that's going on, but before Great. I get to that, I want to talk, you're an attorney, correct?
Yes,
so
that's correct.
Do you handle all your law work, or do you hire out an attorney?
We usually third party it. We have great legal partners, but sometimes I don't want to wait. So I'll do the lease, or I'll do the amendment, or I'll do the org doc, just because I don't want to have to wait or don't want to have to pay the legal fees. But it's too much to keep all that up. But I do. It's great because, you know, with contracts and everything, I have that background. I mean, my father really wanted me to go to law school for this reason, not necessarily to practice law, but to have the skill set. And I spent a couple of years practicing at Proskauer in New York, and still play on the softball team. So I'm not sure that's fair, but it's they're great people, and gave me a great legal background to be able to use it every day.
Well, that's great to have an in-house attorney
Yeah,
if you
that's
need
right. We
it.
got an in-house. That's
That's
right.
right. So now let's talk about one of your projects that's going on, and that's the Camp Town.
Yeah,
It's
it's awesome.
there's a lot of being talked about this project. So
Yeah,
tell us a little bit
it's
about
great.
that.
Yeah, so it used to be the Rip Van Winkle Motor Lodge in Leeds, New York, which is about, if for anybody that listeners don't know, 10 minutes west of Hudson. It's kind of in the greater township of Catskill, right off 87. And the family, the Carl family, had owned it through generations. I mean, the first cabins were built in the 1920s, and it was a summer retreat, which obviously had seen its highs and its lows through the journey of the Hudson Valley and the Catskills. And a gentleman, you know, from New York who has a presence, a family house up there, and does a little real estate investing on the side, had gotten this place under contract, kind of in 2019. Serendipitously, I met him in Greece on his honeymoon, and you know, rudely interrupted it and found out who he was, and that he was looking at a hotel in the Catskills, and that he was talking about teaming up with the folks that own and manage Rivertown Lodge, which is this beautiful boutique hotel in Hudson, where I had traveled with my wife, I don't know, dozens of times. And I said, man, when we get back to Brooklyn, we got to have coffee because I got to get involved in this project. And so we did, and I did, and we ended up closing on the property right before COVID. And then COVID happens, and it's like, holy smokes, what are we going to do with all of this? We got it for a pretty attractive acquisition price, but this is a property that was not winterized, not on city sewer or water, and needed a complete rehaul to get it where it is today. So we took 6, 7 months, and then obviously the Catskills started booming again with everybody retreating and driving to where they could go get away during the pandemic. And we had a great contractor, Ligonia, that, you know, worked with us, and it took 2 years, way longer than we thought, but there's a ton of challenges that we overcame. And we opened in March of last year as Camp Town. It's 26 log cabins, none of which are the same. They're all unique and spotted throughout the property. It's a 23-acre property. And then we have four, there were 10 motel, traditional motel units that we split in two to make 20. And then there's another building that has 4 units. And then we have a restaurant that we redid, and it's called Casa Susana, which our chef just was a semifinalist for James Beard. It's authentic Mexican food. It's delicious. We have a pool. We have a pool club starting this summer for locals. We have a sauna. And then we are a month away from finishing our event space, which is basically an outdoor tented area, stage, lights, so we can have weddings and events there. And that should be done in June. It has to be done in June because we've already booked events for this summer. And it's going great. It's been, you know, 14, 15 months. You know, it's a ramp. It's a build where there's a lot of properties that have been built in upstate, and people have options. But you know, Ray and Kim are the management couple that are partners on it, and they have built a great team, great hospitality, and our guests so far have seemed to really resonate with a property that is casual but serious in the right ways. You know, kind of like this podcast.
So this is kind of a unique project. You probably haven't pursued a project like this in the past.
Ever. And it's, I never, I don't know if we will again. I mean, people send us stuff all the time and I'm like, oh man, I need 5 years before I could do something like this again. But to say that I learned a lot on this, I mean, I was on property during construction more on this project than I have been on all our other projects combined. Cause we build, you know, 4 or 5, 6 story buildings from ground up. It's not easy, but it's not rocket science. This was very nuanced and there was a lot of decisions that need to be made in the field. So it just required people to be there a lot. And, but you know, we're super proud of doing it. And I think projects like this happen in people's development lives and cycles to define them and make them learn more and appreciate how hard it is to do these things.
So this wasn't a ground up project. This was, you were taking the structures that were there and basically retrofitting them.
That's correct. Like the cabins, the first cabin that was there that we touched was, in, I think, built in 1923. So it's 100 years old.
Wow.
and so, you know, we put new roofs on them, but like, again, they're all 26 different. So you have different field conditions. I think the latest ones were built in the 70s. And so to get them all, you know, to have a commonality to them as a project, and each one is different. Our guests love that because some people, you know, want this cabin over that cabin. And, you know, 10 or 11 of them have fireplaces and kitchenettes. So they're better for extended stay. Some are just one room, one bathroom cabins. And it's completely unique. You'll never see a property like this again. And kudos to the family for keeping it going, to the Carl family for keeping it going for so long. And in relatively good working order, they just were never intending to winterize it. And you've got, it was all on bedrock. So to lay all the utilities, we had to demo, we had to dynamite, and we didn't want to break any, you know, harmony of the cabins. We didn't want to harmony of the trees that were there. So our site contractor is a ninja. I mean, they're unbelievable, but to be able to do this. And they've been really, really important to the ultimate success of this project because of how it looks and being able to preserve the originality of it, but to bring it back, you know, to 2024 standards.
So are there winter activities in that area?
And yeah, there's skiing and, you know, 10, 15 minutes up the mountain. And so what we got a lot of like skiers that wanted to stay down the mountain and, you know, that would come and have this great restaurant to come to. And we have, you know, we have cozy fireplaces in a bunch of the cabins. There's a beautiful fireplace in our lobby. I think the hardest time is actually like now, March, April, and the mud season, as they call it. And there's really, you know, it's not warm enough yet to go, you know, hiking and doing all the things. So I think winter is going to end up being okay. Spring, early spring, kind of our downtime. And then from May through October, I mean, it's going to be, you know, we've already got, I think, 10 or 11 weekends that are completely booked during that time span right now.
Now, is there a lake nearby?
Yeah, there's a creek that is pretty wide that you can go and swimming hole in and kind of like hike down a little rock face and actually like sit out with lawn chairs and then take a dip in the pool. It's really great. And then there's, as you can imagine, the Catskills, there's hikes all over the place that you can go to and ton of outdoor activities. And then we've got a pool and we've got, you know, a great ambiance to sit around and be on property. So we want people to explore. We want them to come back to the property. This summer we're opening a pool bar as well. So we'll have that for people to drink during the day and get some food.
No, I find that very unique because when I was a kid, we used to go to campgrounds like that.
Yeah.
And stay in these cottages and or
yeah.
And, you know, if you have a family of, like my family, there was 6 of us.
Yeah. So
when you go away, you can't really go to a hotel because, you know, that means you need three hotel rooms.
Yeah. We have these 2-bedroom cabins that have just been perfect for families of 4 and 5. And they, you know, they love them because they can, yeah, they're getting for $500 a night. But they're basically getting 2 rooms, and they put their whole family in there and they've got a fridge. They've got they can cook some food if they want to. And then they've obviously got restaurants around, but it's a good setup.
Now, do you have access to the cable or streaming, so you can have
Oh yeah, we're completely Mid-Hudson
so
Cable
it's
sent
more
us all out. So
modernized now.
yeah, we got Wi-Fi everywhere. Everywhere's got a TV, and we've got Hulu and all the streaming that you want to do if you want to log into your own accounts. So you have that. We want people to come and relax and work and read, but we know people. I mean, I of all people know that people got to be logged in and be on email sometimes.
And
So
you know,
we have that.
you and me both, but nowadays the kids, they can't go anywhere
I
unless
know.
there's kind of internet, you know,
I
they
know.
are
And it's a
gaming
different
sometimes.
world. It's a different world for sure.
Definitely is a
But
different world.
So we have all that. We've had a lot of people, come and post up by the fireplace and do 3, 4 hours of work in our lobby. Our lobby kind of doubles as our restaurant. Like our restaurant and lobby are in the same building. We kind of put our lobby in the tavern in Casa Susana, because you walk in and you just feel the energy of the place when you're checking in. I think it's a good. It's a tricky thing to put your lobby where your restaurant is. It's not doesn't always work, but I think it works here.
So currently the project is complete.
Yeah, except the event space, which
Yeah,
is
right.
literally being completed now. It's within, call it 30 to 40 days of being finished.
And you plan on bringing different talents into that, or you know, it's for shows like plays and things like that?
No, it's more for weddings,
Oh, okay.
or if
Yeah.
like a corporate retreat. Like we're hosting a corporate retreat for a company in June. They're coming for the whole week, so they may use it to do yoga or have some meetings or just some cocktails. So we want to have it for weddings is primarily where it is, most commonly used. But I think people are going to utilize it in different ways, because we've got a warming kitchen, 3 bathrooms. We have a 2 garages that were inherited with the property as well. There's crazy how many buildings are on this place, but we retrofitted basically half of that garage, one of those garages, into 3 bathrooms and a warming kitchen. So we can completely service the event from right next to it. We don't have to be driving all the way across the property, which also means we can keep our restaurant open on a Saturday when there's an event going on. This was done very purposefully because we don't want to have to shut the restaurant down and to run the event.
So this is basically a venue from spring to early fall.
Yeah, May through October. We'll open it for probably first, second weekend in May. You don't want to schedule something too early and the weather really hit, although you can't ever determine the weather, all the way through the last weekend of October. It's becoming warmer and warmer, as we all know, and so October's just generally been beautiful up in the Catskills. Obviously, starting late September through October, the trees are turning, and we've got the leaf peepers, and it's just a beautiful place to be.
Yeah, I love that just the description of it. It sounds enticing. You know, it sounds like a great place. You go there and you can clear your head. There's not a lot of commotion going on. You're outside of the city. You know,
Yeah,
it sounds
100%.
really
And
great.
your own cabin too is even a great thing, right? We have these porch swings on almost all the cabins, and can't tell you how many people I've seen just sitting there reading a book or just swinging. And I'm sure they're thinking about whatever's going on in their lives, their days, we hope it's a peaceful place for them to be.
Oh, that's I wish you lots of luck on that project, because it sounds like
Thank
a
you.
great project.
Appreciate it.
So do you have anything other than that going forward, going on now?
Well, we're looking at projects in Chattanooga, Tennessee, one in Charleston, South Carolina, one in Madison, Wisconsin. Those are all 3 cities that we've been working hard. I know Madison's kind of a weird one, but we have a partner that we've befriended there that's been really great. And so that one's like right next to the Capitol. And then Chattanooga and Charleston's are kind of in the parts of the town that are, trending, where all the restaurants are going and people are locals are going and hanging out. And so those 3 we're working with. We opened last year, also Hotel Genevieve, which is with Bunkhouse, which is a affiliate of Standard Hotels in Louisville, Kentucky. And we opened it right before the Kentucky Derby, which was maddening, and crazy. And so this is our first you know, Derby after the first opening. We opened last year, but then we've had the full year to get ready. And this year's the 150th Kentucky Derby. So it is going to be crazy next weekend in Louisville.
So what about New England? You didn't mention anything about New England.
I know, like it's just historically, we, the markets that we love there, Boston's always been a great hotel market, very difficult to get a hotel deal done there if you're not kind of local to it. We do have a partner in Portland, Maine that we've looked at a bunch of deals with. They're a great, prolific New England developer. And I have a feeling some point over the next 5 years, we'll do a project with them somewhere in the region, whether it be Portland or the greater Maine area, a market that I have just loved forever and would love to do a deal in is Burlington, Vermont. You've got the university there. You've got this incredible downtown with the beautiful walkability and just not a big hotel supply and a very big hotel demand.
I love what you were telling us about that camp town. And that's in what city is
it? It's
that?
Leeds, New York. New York. Yeah.
And and the other hotel projects you've been doing throughout the whole East Coast.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you've been successful with all of that. And I wish you much luck going forward with all the other projects that you have going on.
I appreciate it.
And I want to thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's been great.
And we've been talking with Stephen Wendell. He's the founder and CEO of Mountain Shore Properties. And again, thank you, Stephen. And I want to wish everyone a great day. And until next time.
Thank you.